This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast, Chris Graham, and we're going to talk some Washington Nationals baseball today. And, I wrote a column today, and I sat down. Let me give you some behind the scenes. You don't always put this in the column that you write, the motivation you have for writing. I follow the Nats closely. I'm a Nats fan. I wouldn't consider myself a Nats journalist, certainly, but I'm a journalist and I'm a Nats fan, so I'm going to write about the Nats. And I've been thinking about this for the last few days, okay? So if you're a Nats follower, Nats fan, you know that this season not going at all according to plan. This is a team that's the two-time defending champions in the NL East for the last, 6 years, division titles. And the expectation going into this season certainly was for another division championship. And, in fact, higher sights, with the first-round playoff exits as the fallback, looking at what the Washington Capitals were able to do, finally overcoming their playoff bugaboos. This year the thought was the Nats could maybe break through. At least that was definitely the goal for this team this year. And with an important caveat that this could be the last year that you have Bryce Harper as part of the group. Harper's contract is up this year. All the thought and speculation that the Yankees, among others, Dodgers, would throw a ton of money at Harper, and so you better win now because getting's good, so to speak. All the pressure you can imagine on this team, the success in the regular season, but not having success in the playoffs, the Harper thing. And so, 46-46 record after 92 games, definitely a disappointment. And the way the last bit has gone, I'm trying to, I think at this stage it's a the streak, they were at one point 10 games over, so 10 games under since the first part of June. I've analyzed, for the column I did today, I analyzed the last 21 games. Nothing about that. That 7-14 record in the 21 games. Wanted to break things down and get a close look at these Nats and why things are going the way they are. I sat down and I wrote the lead to the story. And the lead to the story that I wrote was Washington Nationals fans have been waiting for weeks for the preseason NL East favorite to come around. Bad news, this might be as good as they're going to get. And then I did the research. I watched the team on a nightly basis. I went to a few games in person a couple weeks ago to see the team in person, keep up with them regularly, look at the stats all the time. And my impression after just the eye test was, this is as good as it's going to get. The team's had injuries, but it's hard to argue away the lack of success with just injuries. From a watching the games on a nightly basis standpoint, the offense just doesn't get going. The pitching is either good or it's really bad. But even when it's good, the offense doesn't always coordinate. It's off nights with the pitching. You're not getting enough innings out of your starters. You're overusing your bullpen. You're starting to see bullpen guys break down. Sean Doolittle just went to DL. You can't keep guys healthy. It's just a ship that's just way off. I didn't write this in the column, but I watched the ESPN broadcast last week during one of the series with the Nats and the Red Sox, and Tim Kirkjian said during that broadcast that they talked to scouts, and this one scout said that the Nats are the worst base running team in all of baseball. And that was right after Daniel Murphy had gotten thrown out trying to go from first to third on a single. I looked the numbers up, and I don't know how you would define worst team. Baseball is full of stats. I would define bad base running as if you lead the league in outs on bases. That's one metric. There's baseball metrics all over the place. You can measure who's the teams that are best going from first to third on singles, scoring from second on singles, going from scoring from first on doubles, and then the more variables you throw in there, obviously then it gets more subjective. I just looked at simply the outs on bases, and the Nats weren't anywhere near the top as far as that goes. But it's an impression. It's a visual thing. When you see Murphy get thrown out, trying to go from first to third, in fact, that happened again later in the week last week. So twice in a week, he gets thrown out going from first to third, trying to go from first to third on a single. killing innings. You know, guys get in on bases, it kills an inning. And you see that, and you say, man, see, that confirms it right there. Yeah, they are the worst. And, you know, the pitching is bad, and, you know, the hitting's not doing well. So I wanted to break it down. And I'll tell you what, when I broke the numbers down, yeah, the last 21 games, 7-14 record, the starters are averaging, well, let's see, I got all my numbers down here in my notes. Starters are averaging 5.24 innings per start over that period of time. You take Max Scherzer out, because Scherzer's still been Scherzer. You take him out, 4.88 innings per start over that last 21 games. That's, you know, that's not even eligible for a win kind of starting, and that's meaning that you're having to get four-plus innings every night out of your bullpen. That's why your bullpen does, you know, they were breaking down a little bit. This is a staff that had been averaging 5.84 innings per start before the last 21 games. Now, what is marked by these last 21 games? You haven't had Steven Strasburg is a big factor. Jeremy Hellickson, your fifth starter, just got back. And so, you know, so you for a while there, you're pitching three starters that you started the season with, Scherzer, Gio Gonzalez, Tanner Roark, and you're pitching whoever you can pitch. You know, a couple of young, you know, rotation of young guys. And so, you know, it's not surprising then when you lose a frontline starter like Strasburg. Strasburg's making $27 million a year. You lose a guy like that. Now, he hasn't had the year justifying, you know, that investment necessarily, but I mean he's going to eat innings up for you if nothing else. And you lose Hellickson, who he's not a guy who's going to, he's in fact just 3-1 this season in 12 starts, but he's 3-1 with, you know, some decent numbers. You know, a 3-1 record. What's he sitting at here? 3-1, 3.47 ERA, 1.09 WHIP. I mean, so those are good numbers. He keeps you in games. He doesn't go very deep in games. He'll go 5, maybe 6 innings for you. But, you know, that's better than 1 or 2 innings and then having your bullpen throw the rest of them like we've seen in recent weeks. So you're down those two guys. That's a factor. And then I knew, and I didn't write about this, and I kind of wish I had because I could prove that I knew this, so to speak, that I was thinking this. But, you know, you knew that when, because Daniel Murphy was out for the first, he was out for April, May, into June. Rehabbed a lot in June with the Harrisburg Senators. You knew when he came back and was ready to play at the major league level that, you know, Wilmer Defoe had been playing well in his absence. You know, Defoe, in fact, had, you know, had done really well, I thought, in April and May. You know, you're replacing a guy who's been playing for you with a guy that's got to get back up to speed, literally on the base paths, and then, you know, get his bat speed up, get his looks at a major league pitching kind of thing up. I mean, so there's issues there. And then, you know, also bringing back Adam Eaton, that, you know, a guy that the Nats traded for before last season, before the 2017 season. Didn't play a lot last year because of injury. Came back this year, went down to injury very early this year again. You know, you get more at-bats for Matt Adams, Michael A. Taylor. All of a sudden, you know, obviously you've got a lot invested in Adam Eaton, so you want to get him back, get him at-bats, and get him back rolling. That takes opportunities away from Taylor, takes opportunities away from Adams, who then went down. I mean, Adams was a free agent signee to give you some depth, and he put up some great numbers. He's put up some great numbers, 13 home runs so far this season. He's, you know, hitting in the – what's he hitting now? He's hitting .283, 13 homers, 36 runs batted. But they lost him for a couple of weeks with a thumb injury. I think it was a thumb injury, a finger injury. You know, so all this change, and of course Ryan Zimmerman's been out for a long time, and I don't think there's any talk about when he's coming back right at this stage. So you've got all these moving parts. You've got guys coming back, you know, guys who've been playing well, and now all of a sudden having to adjust to bench roles. You knew there'd be some upheaval there in the lineup, and that it wouldn't necessarily work out for a week or two. It unfortunately for the Nats, it's lingered longer than a week or two, but you're starting to see some guys come around now. You're starting to see Murphy come around, for example. Murphy's numbers on the season, nothing to write home about. He's hitting .250, one home run, 10 runs batted in. His wins above replacement is actually a negative right now because he's been moving around basically anywhere they can put him. He's been playing some first, playing some second, DHing, pinch hitting. But and then Eaton's numbers are actually looking pretty good now. .316 average, .389 on base, .800 OBP. Two home runs, but what, you know, you look at just the last 7 days, let's, you know, just looking, and for both those guys, their numbers in the last 7 days actually looking pretty good. Eaton hitting .348 in his last seven games. Murphy, after that slow start, hitting .381 in his last seven games. He was 4-for-4, what was it, Tuesday in the win over Pittsburgh. So those guys are starting to come around. You know, Juan Soto, a total surprise, comes out of nowhere. I mean, the guy was in low A at the start of the season. He's hitting .304 with a slash line, .304, .417 OBP, and then OPS of .957, nine homers, a 1.5 wins above replacement for this guy, a guy 19 years old who, as of late May, was still in double A, producing at an amazing level. Taylor, the much maligned Taylor, he's either Michael A. Taylor or Michael K. Taylor, depending on the perspective. You know, the slash line, not great, .243, .306, .685, but he does have 24 runs batted in, 23 still on bases, playing some really good outfield when he's out there, a 1.3 WAR. Mark Reynolds, another guy. So you talk about Soto started the season at low A. Mark Reynolds didn't even get a spring training invite this season. After a 30 home run season for the Rockies last year, Reynolds didn't even participate in anybody's spring training. Got signed in mid-April when Zimmerman went down. 10 home runs, 25 runs batted in, a slash line, .297, .370, .965, and in limited playing time, a 0.8 WAR. And then I mentioned Adams' numbers, a 1.2 WAR among his numbers. Now, all that said, those are all pretty solid numbers from guys you really didn't expect much out of. I mean, certainly you didn't expect anything out of Soto or Reynolds. They weren't even on the roster when the season started. And, you know, Taylor, his mixed bag, and Adams was supposed to be, you know, a bat off the bench. Now, all that said, that's correcting for the big glaring weakness in this team is Harper, the guy that we're so worried about losing because, man, he might go to the Yankees for $400 million. The Dodgers might sign him for $500 million. He's hitting .213 right now, slash line .213, .369, .837. You look at the .837, the OPS. Soto's is 120 points higher. Adams, 62 points higher. Reynolds, 128 points higher. So, you know, Harper's not put the 22 homers, 51 runs batted in, 1.5 WAR. But, you know, he's rolling ground balls into the shift. He's, you know, every time you think Harper's coming around, like a couple nights ago, he had two fly ball outs to the warning track, left center field. He had that long rocket home run to center field. You think, okay, he's 1-for-4, but he had a bomb. He just missed a couple home runs. He's back. And then he goes 0-for-3 yesterday with a couple strikeouts. I mean, that's Harper. Every time you think he's back, he's not back. No issue, you know, no question what the issue might be. I mean, a couple years ago he had that offseason after the 2015 MVP season, 2016, terrible numbers hitting the 230s. And you find out after the season was over, he was playing with a muscle issue in his neck, which start thinking about it. Well, if you can't turn your head as much as you'd like, I mean, yeah, it's going to affect your hitting. He gutted it out. Credit to him for gutting out and doing what he did that season. But we don't know of any health issues with Harper. In fact, he's playing center field, so that, you know, he's moved over from right to center, and he's had to accommodate Eaton, you know, getting his legs back under him. So we don't think there are any health issues. It's just lack of productivity issues for Harper. So. The offense is terribly inconsistent, and it's not surprising because, again, of all the flux, that will change. Murphy and Eaton are hitting better. Trey Turner and Anthony Rendon are just doing what you'd expect those guys to do, maybe even a little better. Rendon, slash line, .279, .345, .856, 13 home runs, 41 runs batted in. His defense, gold glove level, 2.8 WAR. And then Turner, .270, .349, .756, 11 home runs, 22 steals, a 2.9 WAR. Again, he's also a plus defender. So you're getting what you expect out of them. You've got all these other guys, the Sotos, the Reynolds, the Taylors, the Adams, performing above expectations. Harper doing basically nothing since the first month of the season. Zimmerman producing literally nothing because he's been injured all this time. And I think the offense will come around. I don't think it's not just me thinking that. It's coming around. It will come around. And it has to, because in the last 21 games, that period of time that I studied, 7-14 record for the Nats. The odd thing about that 7-21 record, and I pointed this out, in the 7 wins, 64 runs scored. That's over 9 a game. 3 with double digits, 17 in a win over Philadelphia, 14 and 18 in 2 of the 3 wins over the Marlins this past weekend. And the 14 losses in that stretch, 25 runs, 5 shutouts. So, you know, you're seeing Dave Martinez, rookie manager. He's been juggling the lineup as much as he can, trying to do anything he can to get something that works out of this lineup. And it's not consistent, obviously. And that's part of that is you feel like you've got to give Bryce Harper, you got to put him third, fourth, or fifth. And one out of four games, he's a 3, 4, or 5 hitter. The other three, you could put him eighth, and you wouldn't see a difference. He contributes walks on those days at best. You know, he's on base once or twice, maybe with walks, but he's a rally killer in the middle of your lineup. And then we go back to the pitching. I mentioned in that last 21 games, outside of Scherzer starts, 4.88 innings per start. Some of that's the rookies that have been called up to try to, you know, to take the innings that Strasburg and Hellickson were giving away. Part of it is that, okay, outside of Scherzer, part of it is that two guys that should be doing better, Gonzalez and Roark, are not. Just are not. Tanner Roark is a guy, as a four starter, he's been a quality four starter's career, but he's 3-11. 4.76 earned run average, 1.37 whip. And in some measures, Gonzalez has been worse. Now, his ERA is 3.72, but his whip is 1.46, 6-6 record. And neither of those guys are eating innings up right now. And that's tough when you've already got the issue that you have with losing Strasburg and having Hellickson on the sidelines for a while during his last stretch. And then you're getting, you know, you're getting Gonzalez, you're getting Roark giving you 4, 5, or 6 innings. Or Roark gave 7 innings last week in one of the losses to the Red Sox. Gave up 9 runs by the third inning, and he was still in the game, eating up innings. Hey, he ate the innings up. Give him credit for doing that. But at what cost, right? So, you know, you've got to get more out of Gonzalez. You've got to get more out of Roark. They got to get into the sixth inning. Those are guys that are being compensated to the level that they need to get you into the sixth inning every start, either ahead or at least tied, maybe down a run. It's got to be, you know, at the worst, it's got to be 3-2-4-3, and they hand the ball over the bullpen in the sixth inning. It's got to be that. And it's not been that lately from those guys. You know, they're having a hard time getting into the fifth inning, getting into the sixth inning. You got to get Strasburg back. Strasburg, I mentioned, you know, for fans now, you know, I'm the guy trying to tell you, come down off the ledge. But Strasburg's numbers before he left, 6-6, 3.48 ERA, 1.09 whip. I mean, those are pretty pedestrian numbers for a guy who's on a lot of staffs, would be your ace. He's the number two guy on this staff, but he's pitching like a 3 or 4 guy right now. Now, some of those number issues could be, I mean, he had a forearm issue, the muscle issue that led into the DL. Went on the DL on June 9th. He's coming back. He looked good in his first rehab start, actually in Lynchburg for the Peanuts, high A team, the Potomac Nationals. 3 1/3 innings, gave up a run. He gave up a double in the fourth inning. He was on a strict pitch count, 50 pitches. Literally a 50th pitch, gave up a double. Relief pitcher gave up a single. That's how the run scored. He struck out 5. Looked pretty good in that outing. So he's got, I would assume, one more rehab start, probably Saturday or Sunday, All-Star break, and then I would assume he's coming back either Friday or Saturday next week in that Atlanta series, which will be obviously a key start for this team. But he's not been putting up big numbers either, but he'll eat innings up for you, you know, get some innings, get some, you know, some good pitching out of Gonzalez, get better pitching out of Roark. Hellickson, that 3-1 record in 12 starts will indicate to you he's not getting deep into games, but when he is in the games, that 3.47 ERA and 1.09 WHIP suggests that, you know, he can as a fifth starter. That's pretty good. Those are pretty good numbers to me for a fifth starter. And I like Kellerton. He's a battler. You know, he'll game out there, and I think he's got potential. I mean, if he can build up, he can be a guy who can give you more innings as the season goes on. I think he can get you deeper in the games as the season goes on. So, you know, all that said, the problem to me is not so much the lineup. I think the lineup is going to come around. Certainly, you get Strasburg back and get this rotation back to full strength. You know, the rotation after the break is going to be full strength. So you'll have a full strength rotation. You'll have a full strength everyday lineup. You've got guys. this is I take the positive you can take out of it. You've got a deep bench now because you had to account for the loss of Murphy for a while, for the loss of Eden for a while. You still have to account for the loss of Zimmerman. You've been able to get a lot of at-bats, a lot of playing time for guys like Adams, for guys like Bifo, Taylor, Soto, who's going to be an interesting question when all the guys come back full strength. Reynolds, too. I mean, until he's 297, 370, 965, 10 homers. You know, if the thought is, and I thought this 2 weeks ago, I was talking to Scott German, who joins me on a lot of podcasts here. We were having dinner one night, and I said, when everybody gets back healthy, Reynolds is expendable. I'm not so sure he's expendable anymore. I think it's going to be hard to figure out just who ends up being sort of on the chopping block there as far as that goes. But and I didn't even mention Matt Wieters is now back, and they're going to have to make a quick decision on Wieters. You know, they weren't getting a lot of productivity, which is to say they were getting the second worst productivity in all of baseball from the catching position offensively. Wieters went down early this season. He's just now back. He's been back for a couple games. But you just saw Pedro Severino get sent down. Spencer Keyboom and he were the battery for quite a long time. Not productive. Just not productive at all offensively. Second worst again in all of MLB this season for the Nats. So, if Wieters, who honestly is a couple years past his prime, the O's made a good move getting rid of him a couple years ago. We're not re-signing him, I guess, for the amount of money that he was asking for at that time. If he doesn't show soon that he's capable of adding some punch back there at the catching position, it might be time to cut bait there and try to figure out another solution at the catching position as far as that goes. But that all said, so I look at the rotation, I look at the lineup, I think, generally speaking, things are pretty solid. The question I got and the fear I've got is that the bullpen, which I thought was a strength of this team going into the season, it's even gotten stronger with the acquisition of Kelvin Herrera, the closer for Kansas City is now the eighth inning guy. Actually, right this second, he's the closer again with Doolittle on the 10-day DL through the All-Star break. But, that only strengthened what was already a strength of this team. The acquisition of Doolittle last season and Ryan Madsen. What you're seeing out of Matt Grace, he's been given some both short and long relief performances of note lately. I should be able to name all these guys chapter and verse because of the amount we've seen them the last few weeks. But when the bullpen knows that it's got to give you four innings every night, except when Scherzer pitches. They're breaking down, and it's not a surprise that that's the case. So that's a concern I got. Now, the All-Star break can't come at a better time. You'll get Strasburg back after the break, I assume. The break gives you literally 3 days where those guys can all recalibrate, hopefully prop their feet up and rest and get some massages on their overworked right and left arms, as the case may be. But yeah, that's going to be a concern because there's been a lot of bullets expended from those righty and lefty guns out in that pen, and you may end up needing to see the Nats go out and even though there's a lot of good arms out there, they may need to go out and get active on the trade wire again between now and the deadline, July 31st, and maybe pick up another arm or two. Not closer level arm, but you might need some depth out there in the bullpen because, again, you've worked those guys, and I don't know that a three day All Star break is going to change that. But I break all this down. I say you're replacing, right now, effectively your fifth starter. It has been going to the rookie position, Fetty. Rodriguez have been getting those starts of late. You're replacing anywhere from 1 to 3 or 4 innings with Strasburg, who will give you 6 or 7 every night. You still need to get more out of the trio of Gonzalez, Roark, and Hellickson. You still need to get more out of those guys than you've been getting. I think the offense continuing to come around will help with that. We saw this week the one win in the 3-game series in Pittsburgh. Hellickson looked good after 5 innings. His pitch count was pretty low; it was in the 70s. But in the top of the 6th, 2-0 lead for the Nats. They load the bases with one out, And Davey Martinez makes what turns out to be the smart move. I criticized it at the time. My wife will tell you. I'm sitting there saying he brought Mark Reynolds up, bases loaded, one out. If this doesn't lead to a couple runs, yeah, he's going to an already depleted bullpen for four innings tonight. This could be a deal-breaker kind of thing. Reynolds wonks. They score a couple more runs. They take a 5-0 lead, hold on for the 5-1 win, and it turned into a good move. But, you know, the more your offense produces, the less pressure there is to pinch hit in the sixth or seventh inning. You can get maybe an inning or two more out of your starters. That means your bullpen's stronger. So I look at all this and say, yes, 46-46, nowhere near expectations for this team. But and as well as the Phillies and as well as the Braves have been playing to this stage, somehow this Nats team, and this first half has gone as poorly as it could have gone. I know we're technically past the halfway point in games, but until the All-Star break, this is the first half of the season. This first half has gone as poorly as it could have gone for this Nationals team. They're 5.5 out. They're 5.5 out. Get hot. This team can get hot. You know, rip off a 7-8 game winning streak. You're right back in the thick of this. I still think the Nats are the team to beat in the National League East. And you know, and that's casting no aspersions at the Braves or the Phillies. They're both young teams. The Braves are probably a year ahead of schedule. That said, you know, there was a 2012 Nats NL East champion team that was also a year ahead of schedule. That, you know, that team overachieved based on its experience and they overachieved in one division. So that's not to say that either of those teams can do so. I don't even know the Phillies. The Braves were on the radar. I was thinking going into the season, hey, they'll get some momentum, and 2019 will be an interesting year for them. I didn't see anything out of these Phillies. Now, they had a decent finish to last season after a terrible start. Give them credit. They're playing good baseball right now. Now, their record versus their run differential suggests that there's probably some correction coming for them. In fact, the Nats have a better run differential than the Phillies do right now. I think it's something like the Nats are plus 29 and the Phillies are plus 22. And I'm a stats guy, so I'll tell you, you can listen and call it BS if you want. But you basically look at a team's run differential, and I've run this formula. I've seen this formula repeated elsewhere. You look at a run differential of plus 10 and say that team should – That's one extra win over 500, if you want to call it that. So really two games over 500 from a zero run differential, or a negative run differential goes in the other direction, certainly. So when you look at a team with a plus 29, they should have about three more wins than they have right now. Essentially the Nats, based on their run differential, should be 49-43 right now. They're 46-46. So the Phillies at plus 22 should be four games over 500. Two in the positive, two off the negative, and so they're 11 over. So, you know, they should be at 91 games played. They should be roughly, what would that be, 47-44, 48-43, somewhere straddling that line. I'm just going to tell you, they correct themselves over the course of the season. We play enough games now to know who the teams are, who they're not. And plus, this Nats team is still getting back to full strength. The Phillies, the Braves are about as close to full strength as they're going to be. So, say all that to say, I still look at this and say, I mean, now, obviously, there are unforeseen things. Guys running defenses. Pitchers lose control of the strikes and whatever. But guys can get hurt. Certainly, that can change the equation. But I look at those three teams right now and say the Nats are the team to beat. I think that this is the kind of it's going to be now. They put themselves behind an eight ball, 5.5 back as we approach the All-Star break. But a lot of baseball to be played, and the Nats have not played full strength yet this season, and they're about to starting next week. So, and I didn't start out. I'll just say that again. I'll reinforce. I did not start out that column today thinking that was my conclusion. I started out the column, like a lot of you folks listening, started out the column thinking, you know, I've watched this team play the last 3 or 4 weeks very closely. I don't feel good about it, and I'm going to tell people why not to feel good. And at the end of the day, I'm trying to tell you, if you're a Nats fan, to to just kind of wait it out a little bit longer. I think you'll see by the end of July, I think this team will kind of get us Nats fans back in the fold here. Would not surprise me to see by the July 31st trade deadline this team back in first place. So I say all that, and we'll see how much of a smart guy I really am, right? I've been wrong before, been right before. We'll see how that goes. Well, that's going to be a podcast for today, and I want to thank you for listening. And if you have any questions, if you have anything you want to offer in terms of critiques or things you want me to talk about in future podcasts, AugustaFreePress2@gmail.com. You can tweet me at AugFreePress. Feel free to DM me. Just, you know, no weird pictures, but, you know, feel free to message me. And those, you know, if you're listening through your you know, through iTunes or through Google Play, you can go to our website. My email address, my information is all over that website. And I actually saw somebody on a message board say, you can't find the guy. There's no information. Every story, every page, at the top of the page, gives you all that information. So, you know, if you can't find us, just keep looking, because it's right there. It's right there at the top. But anyway, please, I want to hear from you. Let me know what, you know, what you want me to talk about, what I'm right about, what I'm wrong about, whatever the case may be. Be glad to get into it. Well, I want to thank you for your time today. Signing off, Chris Graham. Wahoo, wahoo.